Habakkuk chapter 3. Today I want us to use the New Living Translation. We're reading from verse 2 and we'll stop in verse 15. That's where we take the declaration of the glory of the Lord from. If you are blessed, say amen.
Amen.
That doesn't sound convincing, no. I said, if you are blessed, give me an amen.
Amen.
That's a bit more convincing. Last time, if you are blessed, can you say an amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, I want to describe God, amen? Please, we read this. My desire, actually, is that these things will be formed into habits in our lives. Okay? Please, let's not forget it. This is what happens. The world is always trying to magnify something else. That's why God keeps saying, look this way. I am God. Not that place you are looking at. Not the job. Not your father. I am God. Not a big businessman. There is none good but God. Anytime you see goodness in something, in somebody, God is the one manifesting himself. So we keep on saying that, okay, because you know, oh, people, I try this is not to engage people who are not believers, who you can't reason scriptures with. Everything happens, they have to look for who to blame. Yes, that's why, well, you're the head of state, you're the president, whatever, so you just keep on taking the flak. People keep blaming you for anything. All right? If a truck fails, if the brake of a truck fails and then it jams a wall and kills people inside, what's the president doing about the state of the trucks in this country? When you keep on saying that, what you are saying is that he is God. But a man is not God. You know where his breath is? Literally, his breath of life. That is, if you block the nostrils, block everywhere, he's gone. So stop regarding man. So why we keep doing this is to remind ourselves of the position of God in our lives. He doesn't change. He doesn't need reminder. All right? Doesn't need any reminder. He knows who he is. We are the ones that get confused. So we keep reading and declaring once in a while to remind ourselves. That's why we do what we do. To remind ourselves of how great God is. Praise, I keep saying, it's not for the sake of God. This attitude of, I'm sure nobody who is listening to me for any length of time says it. Praise is the food of God. Insult. So he gets hungry. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The source of life needs infusion with life. It's like the sun is getting weak. Everybody shine your torch to let us light up the sun. Or we send all the radioactive materials we have on the earth into the sun so that the sun can shine some more. Assuming the sun had a soul, the sun would look, what is wrong with these people? The amount of energy the sun emits in 1 second, the whole globe can't use it in a year. And that, I'm not exaggerating. In fact, I've understated it. With all the cars we are driving, all the plane flying up and down, we can't use it in a whole year. You're a tiny part of the solar system. The sun contains more mass than the rest of the solar system put together. They say you can put 3,000 or how many thousands of Earths into the sun. So where I'm going is that you now say you want to give it life. So you say, God, you have to praise God. It is what? The food of God. Very funny. God said, wow, I get hungry. That's a revelation, isn't it? I understand what we are trying to say, okay? That we can't give him food, we can't, what? But you see, it gives a wrong impression as if we are giving him. We're not giving him praise. Our praise is directed towards him. But it's not something we are giving to him. Really. He's not benefiting anything from me. That's my point. It is us that's benefiting. Anytime you praise God, he becomes clearer to you. Do you understand? If he becomes clear, if you know the way God is, even the thank you is for your sake. No, have you ever done something for somebody before and doesn't say thank you, even though you try to be godly? You are less inclined next time to look in that direction. Where I'm going is that even the thank you is for our, we are saying to God, we appreciate what he has done. It's for our own good also. You see, so what do I give to God? To be honest with you, there's really nothing you can. If you want to make God happy, receive from him. You hear what I said? And show him that you appreciate that thing you are receiving. That's the only thing you can give to him. His satisfaction comes from your being satisfied. I don't know whether I get my point. If God does something for you and it puts a smile on your face, then it makes him happy. See, I've made my daughter happy. I don't know whether you have a rich, very rich relative that you wonder, what do I give to this person? That's how God is. God is just for the purpose of the discussion, it's like 1 billion times richer than the richest man on the earth. So, you are going to see him. What do you give him? So anything you do is actually making a statement about you. It's allowing him in your life. So when we praise God, we are making him clearer to ourselves. Like I said before, if you teach your children, please, don't teach your children to grumble. Don't teach them to look at anybody as a source of help. Don't teach them, don't allow them to be angry. There's one guy who does some series of videos on television, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, you know, social media. But I see him mostly on people's statuses or on YouTube. I saw one he did recently. The guy was talking about some people abroad. He said, you hate your... Now, talking to Nigerians, he's a Nigerian. He's from Nigeria, but he lives in the UK. But he keeps on trying to explain to people that, see, UK is not heaven. That weigh your options, okay? Please sit down, sit down. You'll stand again. I realize that I'm keeping you standing. He said that weigh your options carefully. The last one he was trying to say is that listen to this. He said some people hate their country so much, and it's a terrible thing, that they leave their children with no option. He said that, these things, I'm doing it for my children. You know, I said, I warned us about it. Was it on Tuesday or last Saturday? Tuesday, yeah. And if anybody wasn't there, please go and listen to that message. What time do we give it now? It's only about seeking God's glory. Just look for it to seek God's glory. All right? He said that you hate your country so much. He said, unfortunately, the only picture of your country your children have is from you. He said, so when you speak all the time negatively, they also completely disconnect. He said, unfortunately, where you are raising them, they will never be fully accepted. Now, he said, I wanted to give another opportunity. He said, that is true. Opportunities are bound all over the place, of course, which we know. You can have opportunities from anywhere. So leave that in, all right? These days of social media, internet, you can have the opportunity from anywhere. Nobody should deceive you. You know the funny thing? Sorry, small digression, okay? Small digression. If you check see my status updates. I posted one yesterday. In some schools in Australia now, they are banning tabs and computers for children. They have discovered that children don't learn. You know, we hype it like, you know, tab, lab. They said they sat down and said, man, these children are getting dollar by the year. So one Catholic group of schools, they started it. No tabs, no computers in the side of the school. You come with pen and paper, read books. And they found people getting better. Their grades improving. They're not saying technology is bad. They said, but you have to be careful how you use it. So now their children, you see them, the idea of, in the classroom, computers and tabs are banned. They're not spreading to other schools. This is in Australia. They've done their studies and realized that, hey, wait,
These children are not as smart. He said they have much more information available to them, but they can't use their brains to process the information. So everything is doing everything for them. AI is doing everything for them. So now they've banned all of you can search things. You can go to the library, there are computers, but in class, no computers in the class. Everybody. And then you submit your, as you know before, email your, no. The teacher said, write it by hand. Write it by hand. And they were interviewing the children. He said, oh, that is really, it's really a nice experience. To write by hand. I had to post it for many people to see that, you know, sometimes we glorify things that are not, we overhype things. And really, I now realize that's why a lot of our people, they do so exceedingly well when they get to some of those places, having been trained on pen and paper. Back to what I was saying. So the man said something. I was telling you what he said. He said that, look, be careful. He said, yes, opportunities are there. He said, but he now mentioned in their own country, mentioned a number of prominent Nigerians who are doing very well over there. He said, check how well they are connected with Nigeria. He gave an example of Anthony Joshua. He said, where do you always find him? Now, please let me not talk about, you can disagree with some things he's saying. That's not what I'm trying to emphasize. What I'm trying to emphasize is that thing he said, that your children don't know your country any other way apart from how you talk about it to them. I just dropped that to tell us, please, don't fill your children's ears with negativity. Let me tell you, parents again, please, when you want to grumble about your neighbor, go into the room, pat the walls, shut the door, and you and your wife, then leave the children out. Let them think everybody is a saint. Don't worry. Give them certain rules about life, but stop. Especially if you go to a church, please. Stop speaking evil of that church in their hearing. Talk doctrine matter. I'm not saying you shouldn't correct doctrines. But don't be in church. You know, some people, they are nothing but fault finders. Don't be a fault finder. You raise children that are negative. They don't make good friends. People don't like them. As they don't like your son. Nobody likes somebody who emits negativity. There are people I'm talking to, when they say, this country, they don't know. They think I'm listening. They don't have pushed the phone away. This Nigeria has finished. I faced the speaker to another side. There was one of our friends once. So one guy said, another friend, I said, let's stop and greet this guy. I said, I beg, I'll not get time for grumbling. He burst into laughter. He said, that guy's wife can grumble. Everybody had no, but nobody talked about it. So daddy was just, see this guy now, let's just, stop it. I beg, let's go. He said, why? And I said, I don't have ear for grumbling this afternoon. And immediately he understood. He started laughing. Don't teach your children to be negative. Don't. Stop speaking evil about things to them. Many years ago, I saw one young boy. You know, America, their law is very funny. Their law is vindictive. Now, I don't mean it. Look, I'm not begging for immigrant visa. So, before you go and tell Donald Trump, this is what I said. But generally, U.S. law is vindictive. Look. Is they want to pay back. In Europe, if you are 16, you kill people. You are too young. You go to jail. You are a juvenile. In America, they come 13. They have this thing that is only, I'm sure in some other countries it exists, but it's only the US I hear about it. They say, try as an adult. That is decided not by your age, but by the crime. So if a 12-year-old shoots somebody, The trial goes as if an adult did it. Say, but sir, he's 12. Their law doesn't care. which personally I have a problem with, because the crime is not decided, the age is not decided by the crime. Are you getting my point? That's my own, and that's what Nigeria, that's what we do in Nigeria. Most of Commonwealth countries, that's what we do. Am I right? Olori, is that nodding just trying to be nice? Or Is it true or you are just trying to be nice to me? Oh, okay, okay. She's a liar. So anyway, this boy was 17. When he and his friends started to go and play, it was their graduation day. You know, graduation day is play day. You know, children, you know, they do party in their homes. They go, you know, go and play. So in their own play, they say, let them carry, what do you call it? Let them go and steal. Just by the way, if you are listening to this, you are a young person, even if you are old. The Bible says, doing wickedness, in Proverbs, it says, doing wickedness is fun to a fool. That's what Solomon said. He said, only a fool thinks doing what is bad, fun. So this boy decided to go and have fun. What's their fun? Hijack a car. One way or the other, guns showed up. Where they got guns from, gun, we don't know. So they overtook an elderly couple who were returning from visiting their children and grandchildren. I still remember a white Mercedes-Benz 190. They blocked them. He dragged the man out. His partner dragged, there were about three or four of them, dragged the woman out. Next thing he shouted, shoot the, used one of those crosswords, thank you. Shoot. At that time, he ran two shots into the man. Like, the other boys froze. No, now. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to just drag them out, take their car on a joyride, then abandon the car. Of course, police will catch them later or decide it's not worth the effort. Because they didn't enjoy anybody, they just took the car and they find the car later. There's so much crime going around. They may not put the amount of manpower needed to solve that crime. But this time now, you shot and killed an elderly white man returning, just driving gently back from visiting his family. Those are the kind of crime. I found out that US, I thought they solved most murders. They don't solve up to 60% of the murders. Sorry, up to 40%. Yeah, I thought. But these are the type they solve 90% of the times. Why they don't solve most? That most of them, you know, they are gang violence, things like that. They don't bother. Not because they don't want to bother, but there's so much of those gang violence going on that just put on police. But after interviewing 10 people, say, don't leave the case open. But this kind of one, they will find the person. They will pull all the risks. Within a few days, of course, they've caught all of them. Why am I talking about it? This young man was being interviewed by Christian Amanpour on CNN those days while he was on death row. Yes. Oh, they didn't care that he was 17. Sentenced him to death. We viewed his dead body after that program. The program followed until they executed him. Christian videoed his dead body where he laid in the chapel. What am I talking about? Why did he shoot that man? I reasoned with God, why? They asked him, he said, I don't know. Christian asked him, why? He said he doesn't know. That he has thought about it, he can't explain why he shot the man. He said, will I say he's my friend? That's the interesting part. The guy thought, he said, it couldn't be that I'm the leader, I'm a team captain. See, amongst them, I lead. So they can't influence me to do anything. See, I don't think it's them. So why? He said he doesn't know. Instantly, I knew. I'm sorry to say, his parents. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. They will never think about it. But anger that has built up, the talk of oppression by the whites, it goes on all the time. And you keep telling the children they don't like you. So the boy has enemies in rich white people who have never done anything to him.
is called bitterness. The Bible says when it springs up, it troubles people and many are defiled.
They interviewed the father after the boy, well, that time they are resigned to defeat. That the boy executed, well, just resigned. There's nothing they can do about it. But I looked at it and said, oh God, I know we've had problems. Sorry, see, I mean, Enugu here, let's tell ourselves the truth. The last time, you know who we call MNK, and that's what I call in my class. When it came, my God, I was sad. Because the amount of following he got amongst Christians was painful. This was a man spewing anger and bitterness. That should have made an average Christian run from him. See, let me explain. When people grumble in the wilderness, they had a reason. God killed them. They had a reason. Don't think they didn't have. Yet when they grumble so much, God destroyed all of them. He hates, no matter what your excuse, he hates grumbling. He hates bitterness. You have to shield yourself from bitterness at all costs. People, I said, guys, you know, he got support from politicians. Forget that one doesn't concern me. From pastors. I said, Jesus is my Lord. You guys are playing into the hands of the devil. So remember that day? Now, of course, afterwards, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit just, my wife just said, ah, you've not seen your friend in a while. It was just one of those quiet periods. Our children were not at home. They were going to visit their grandparents. So just my wife and I. You know, those days, ah, only my wife and I will be at home for weeks. It's a holiday period. You used to enjoy Enugu. Enugu used to be sweet. You come out in the morning, you see angels everywhere. When we say they travel, I say, you travel from Enugu? In December. Are you okay? I mean, the angels relocated here. You are leaving. So it was one of those evenings. My wife and I would just drive somewhere. And those days, it's different now. Then, no, EDC will give you power like 99% of the times. In fact, one area where I stayed, the voltage was even too high. You have to look at your step, everything. When they now build the mall, you understand? Then, in the evening, people just show up from all the villages. Make the place bubble, then disappear. Then when you are driving, you close your eye. There's no need to open it because the road is so free. Some of those days, I just, you know what I don't like to do? Say, let's go and see this your friend now. He said, it's true. Went to his house. That day, I knew that God sent me here. You know, sometimes God is telling you, he doesn't tell you anything. When he sent Samuel to the house of, when he sent Saul to Samuel, Saul didn't know. I got to my friend's house. When he finished talking, I realized a minister of the gospel, I realized he was in bitterness. MNK's bitterness. Ah! I looked at him that day. I said, sir, don't you realize what you are doing? He was arguing with me. I said, no. I said, I don't use this kind of words lightly. I said, but the Lord said I should tell you to stop. I said, I'm not the type that goes around saying such things. But let me tell you, thus is the Lord. You need to stop this. I said, sir, you know, I said, you have become a Biafran prophet. I told him. I picked that word from my pastor, Doses, who said he had become a Nadeko prophet. I said, he did not realize it. I said, what are you doing? Then one day, one big minister in Nigeria from the north, he came to town. So the church where he went to minister that day, so I went there to go and attend the meeting. Because somebody I know, he knows me. So I just, out of honor, let me go there. So when we left the church, so they brought a car to carry him. So I laughed. I said, look at the kind of car you want to use to carry a man of God. It's a nice car, quite all right, but it was short. Shouldn't be using short cars to carry ministers. I mean, it's not speeding anywhere. It was like a sports car. So I said, excuse me, sir. This car is kind of short. We were laughing. We were having fun, all right? It wasn't a serious matter. I said, sir, I think you should enter my car. I would drive you. So he came, entered my car. So I drove. My car is kind of high, all right? It's not short. It's a high vehicle. So we drove. And I said, thank God I decided to drive him. When we got to the hotel, he didn't come down. We talked for a long time. He said he was just coming from a program in another part of Enugu. Let me not mention where. And that the guy who spoke before him took away his spirit. That when they finally called him to minister, he couldn't talk. He just raised songs, they worshipped, he said one or two things, and he stopped talking. Because the other guy had polluted the air with MNK philosophy. That's where I'm going. So he said, Banky, so happy to see you. He said, you have work to do. I said, sir, I know. He said, you have work to do. You live in Enugu, you have work to do. Just the night before, this was Sunday morning, this was Saturday evening. We're talking on Sunday. It was Saturday evening that he went. He was coming from somewhere. He said he sat there. He said, maybe this man didn't even realize that I'm from Northern Nigeria. You didn't even respect my presence. He said, by the time that guy finished, and I wanted to tell that guy, see, I know the way the Lord works. So I don't know that guy personally. If I did, I would tell him, Oga, you live long life. Stop this thing. This thing you are doing. And let me tell you something. When God is sharing judgment, many people will pay for the blood of those both security forces and young men who died locally here. They will pay. Many people are paying now. They don't know. This man came vomiting bitterness. A preacher. No, let's say the way it is. Okay, let me leave because we are streaming. By the time the man finished, this man said he looked. He said he couldn't preach. He said during the night he could hardly sleep. He was grieved. You can't let the bitterness in the world enter the church. You can't. See, I'll be honest with you. Many stories they tell of this and that happening in Nigeria, they are not true. Everybody takes a story, paints it the way he wants. There are other reasons why they don't give you some things apart from your tribe. When my wife started Soda, one interesting thing happened. Please, I'll get back to my message. I know I've left. I'll go back to my message in a moment. When my wife started Soda, one interesting thing happened. She had to employ a teacher and all of that, and they had to be literate, you know, computer literate, because there were things she wanted to do and all of that. I used to help out, you know, get things sorted and all of that. And there's this particular guy. If I spent 10 hours helping them sort some things out, his own work alone took me 8 hours. And I'm dealing with at least five other persons, only him. But my wife said, next round of employment, you know I will never employ somebody like you. Almost everything he learned, modern thing, he learned there. I forced him to install a dictionary on his phone. I made him install BBC app. If I raised my voice and got angry at somebody 5 times, 4 was against him out of frustration. You ask, why am I talking about this? I said, the way Nigerians behave, this is a candidate that will go home and say they don't like me because of my tribe. Because of all the people working there, everybody was Igbo. He was Yoruba. He was from Ondo State. But you know why he will never be able to say it? That's my state of origin. I did all the shouting. I did all the anger. I did all the threat to fire. So imagine that my wife and me were from Eastern Nigeria. What story will it tell? You say it's tribe. Except that he couldn't say that because were from the same state of origin.
One of my junior colleagues, he went to Ife. This thing I'm telling you now played out. He was extremely bad. He did postgraduate exams a number of times until they failed him and banned him from coming for a year. And if he comes back one more year, I did this badly, they'll ban him for life. This was Ife, where he went for the training. So everybody else in that department was from Western Nigeria. He was from Enugu. So he came home and called one very senior professor and sat with him that they don't like him because he's Igbo. So that man sent for me. It was a very senior person who sent for me. So when I entered his office, I've told the story here before. Yeah. When I entered his office, he gave me a brief. I said, the guy was sitting beside him. I said, this one. I said, Prof, don't mind him. This is the most irresponsible, lazy. I gave him all the words in front of him. I said, Prof, what did he tell you? This one? Because he talked with me. I described him for Prof. I said, so he's telling you, he's using tribe, that's why you don't like him. I said, does he know anything? No, see, I'm being honest with you. He was sitting beside me, and I was pointing at him. I said, Prof, what nonsense is he telling you? I now mentioned another of my colleagues. I said, was that not the same place this person came from? And that person was working in my department that time. Senior to him. I said, is it not the same affair he trained? I said, the HOD comes to Enugu. He just greets me. Hey, Banky, how are you? I said, fine, sir. Then he and this guy will enter one corner and be working on projects together. I said, sir, for your information, that man is from my state. He doesn't talk to me. Talk to a man from Anambra State here. I said, what is he telling you? His problem that his head is empty. No, be honest with you. I gave it to him straight in front of Prof. After I was Prof told him to get up and go and wait outside. And I said, look, he said, Dr. Lucian, I've heard the things you said. How do we help him? I said, sir, okay. And I started plotting how to help him go forward with his life. Meanwhile, in that place, he had gone to gather everybody from his tribe to come and help him solve his problem, that these don't like him because he's not from here. I encounter this every day. There usually are other explanations. Look, that thing I quoted here that time, later someone I said it's called Hanlon's razor, or something like that. You can go and visit him. Those of you know. That never ascribe to malice. That don't ascribe to malice what can be adequately explained by incompetence. What am I talking about? So that man came that time, filled the air around here with bitterness. I heard it in every... Do you know, I'll be honest with you. When I first came to Enugu, I told my wife, she may not remember. After about 2 years, I told my wife, I said, if I park one day, I say I'm leaving Enugu, just know this is the reason. I'm tired of this. I told her. They are still living in Transect Milo. You put on television. There was a gas explosion in a hostel in the university in Awka. And they interview people. They say, that's the problem with Nigeria now. Discrimination. Tribalism. I said, excuse me. How? Now, the young man talking that nonsense is not my problem. But that the news editor felt he should air it. News has editors. So why would the news editor feel this is worthy of being put on air? That was what shocked me. And I heard it so many places. I'm talking about parents. You raise a generation of bitter people who will never go far simply because anywhere they get to. People, there's a reaction they provoke in people. People just walk away from them. When Cosmas Mordecai was talking that time, that old man, he learned the lesson the hard way. He's a billionaire, I don't know how many billions he has counting in dollars, but at least if you count it, it's not, the guy is worth hundreds of millions of dollars at least. Yet, that YPP man, you know what I'm talking about, scammed him with that statement.
Yeah, I heard it from Costales himself. They were interviewing him. He said, they played this card on him, that they said that how can he, a man from this part of the country, come and have a jetty in Lagos, that they are trying to choke him because of his state of origin. He confessed. He said, I bought it. Except that the other business, when they saw him, they said, you, Oga, what are you doing with this man? All the bankers warned him, say, sir, don't have anything to do with this man. That man swayed him with that thing. Now, he confessed it himself. I'm not trying to extrapolate or try to deduce. He, with his own mouth, confessed it. He said, he got me with that sentiment. Next thing he knew, that man has scanned. How many? Who remember how many? It's 280 million. Or 230. So anyway, over $200 million. Are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's going on? $200 and something million. This guy scammed him. The bankers are looking and say, Oga, did we not warn you? He used my brother to catch you, Abi. Go and collect your money from your brother. It now became an issue. I don't know. The word is strong on my heart now. I'm talking about children. Let your children, you know, oh, may God bless Ben Carson's mother. Amen. While some people were raising children who were killing without knowing why at the age of 17, Ben Carson's mother raised her children to understand something about life. Was there discrimination? Yes. But you know what she told Bekazi by his report? That feel sorry for them is ignorance that's their problem. So if you discriminate against him, he felt sorry for you. He wasn't angry. See, another ignoramus. Do you know when Bekazi finished residency, went to Australia to get some experience working as a senior registrar? Now returned to the U.S. Some black people came together to start a hospital that let him be their neurosurgeon. Johns Hopkins, they had a space to fill, so he applied. So they told him that, Johns Hopkins, white, establishment, all those kind of names. You know, you're a black person, they will never give you the job. Come amongst your people where you can do good. He applied in Johns Hopkins. And according to Ben Carson's story, that the racist board, racist in quote, voted unanimously to employ him. There was not one dissent. Why? His boss, who supervised his training, told them, this boy is good. Some of you are incompetent. That's your problem. Incompetence. You want to hide behind tribe and race, and they don't like me. Because my father is this. His boss said, this guy is good. They asked Ben Carson, do you ever have problems on race matters with your patients? He said, yes. Usually from black people. He said, this is how the whites reason. They walk in, they're expecting to see a white man, Dr. Carson. Say, please, you're going to be seeing Dr. Carson. And he's a pediatric, was a pediatric neurosurgeon. So they come with their children, seriously sick. By the time you're needing a neurosurgeon for a child, the child is very ill. So when they come expecting to see a white person, they are shocked. Of course, they can't. It's not prejudice. It's just life. They're shocked to see one young, I'm pretty young, in his 30s. Black guy. You're the Dr. Carson. He said yes. Okay, so they settle. He said one thing goes to the mind of the whites. For him to be what they call chief, for him to be the chief of pediatric neurosurgery in Johns Hopkins, he must be too good.
The blacks, when they walk in, they look at him. They sent us another black person. Yes, now. The black just reasoned that they sent us a black person. Black, maybe would they kill ourselves? Black on black, bad treatment. He said, they look at him and said, diversity, equity, higher. Yeah. They used to call it what they call affirmative action. So they look at it as affirmative action, higher. These kind of people that they hired just to show that they have black people working in the hospital. That's how the blacks look at him. So they are the ones that give him problems. The whites felt that, my God, this young man is the chief of pediatric neurosurgery in Johns Hopkins. He must be too intelligent. And guess what? They were right. The people who were bitter were the ones that were wrong. His worldwide fame came when they separated the Banders twins, who were first to be successfully separated in the world, joined in the head. And of the whole team, his boss chose that Venkase, you give the press conference. So they had all the medical team lined up, everybody that participated. Anesthesiologists, nurses, cardiologists, everybody. They all lined up. There were dozens of them. Who was going to lead the team to address the world? The young black man. Instant fame. If he had followed the bitter people, and many people have followed them, we don't know them till today. That's why I said that the root of bitterness, it troubles people. And by it, many are defiled. There are young ladies who are bitter against their father. For that reason, their marriage is bad. The man will just look at in the morning and say, what can I do now? The girl is angry. Then after a while, out of frustration, he becomes violent too. And guess what? The devil will say, I told you. They are all like that. Well, the man is just frustrated. I like one thing Reverend Dami said yesterday. He said, yeah, I noticed that those who are afraid of witches, they become witches themselves. Please, I took that digression. I'm trying to tell you, please, be careful how you raise your children. Always give God the glory. Don't let them be afraid of people. Don't let them be angry with people. I hope you're getting my point. No matter, don't, see. Let me not continue telling stories. No matter the justification you have for anger, get rid of the bitterness that follows it. What has happened has happened. Just let it go. Let it not happen to your future again. You're angry with everybody. It's not necessary. Please, what's the word of my heart is, limit your frustration to yourself. Don't let your children join you in frustration. Don't tell them the story of the uncle that refused to help you, even though your father helped him. They don't need to hear that story. Ifan is your uncle. Yes. He's very rich. Yes. He did not help you. Yes. Your father paid his school fees. Yes. Your children don't need to hear that part of it. One guy met me the other day. Please, I will finish my message. Let me just keep talking. He was telling me, he was trying to advise me to do a kind of business. Of course, I didn't understand. So, I was like, this was years ago. Not too many years, less than 10 years. And I said, this business is very good. It has to do with cooling and all of that. I said, he has a brother now. That your brother, Judah, is that your guy who wanted to unhook the system, will freeze? That he has a brother, that brother is very rich, very rich. This is the business he does. It's just that it's because of his wife. I said, what's your wife? They say his wife doesn't allow him to help the family, so he has not settled him. That one, I was so angry. I said, excuse me,
I told him, as old as you are, you need your brother to say to you. No, I told him, as old as you are waiting for your brother to say to you. And because he has not given old man like you money, you have to look for who to blame. It's his poor wife. Who, we don't know what she's going through. We don't know what they are going through in the house. You sit down and decide that they have money. You on your, you don't have his BVN. You don't have his NIN. You are not even the NRS or EFCC or DSS. These are people that we know that they peep into our accounts all the time. They're not the security agency. So, you don't know. I mean, you want to hide from those people. No, they won't take your money. They just want to see whether you're a thief. Or whether you are doing money laundry. No, they don't trouble people. They don't trouble you. They won't do anything. To do anything, they have to go to the court. But they see. Their eyes are wide open. The only thing that person that sees more than them is God. I said, you're not even in the security. You know what's going on in his life. And you decide that it is his wife that doesn't want him to say to you. And I told him, as big as you are, you've learned your own trade. You learned your own skill. I got to know him. One day I called him. That time when power was very bad. He's still recovering bit by bit. But sometimes he recovers. Sometimes, what is the opposite of recover? He decovers or whatever it is. Okay, relapses. Thank you. So one of those days, so I was paying money for generator and everything to fuel my gen. Then one day, I noticed something was... Anyway, make a long story short, I found that my freezer wasn't working. Ah. That day, I remember when I got there, I said, dear Father, in the midst of all of this, fuel is 1,000 something a liter. After I've been burning the fuel for days, this freezer is not even working. So I called him to come and look at it. He came, he said, the system hook. Now, please. The fact that you are a fool doesn't mean all of us are fools. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Don't just assume that the rest of us are fools. You are dealing with a man who actually, the only technology I don't understand right now is AI. AI left me behind. But then they launched ChatGPT, I was confused. How AI works till now, eh? I've read about it, they've explained, the explanation is confusing to me. But every other thing, I have a good grasp. If I give you a rundown of how almost anything works. It's only AI that don't know how it works. That one is, so I give that one to the spirits. So that one, the way the thing talks sometimes, it's like it's in a spiritual thing. I chatted with AI yesterday. The guy, I laughed. The guy laughed back. I'm not kidding. I wish I could show you the chat. Something led to it. I decided to just have fun. The guy says, asked me a question. I said, no, I've been married for 26 years. He said, boy, you that I'm like 26 years, that's great. It's not easy. I laugh one laugh, the guy laughed back. I said, now, wow. They do video, you don't know what is real anymore. And the good thing about that, people cannot deny anything. You go see person do bad, they say, no, be me, not AI. Anyway, apart from AI, I understand most technology. I may not be able to do it, but I understand. This is a cooling system. It gave me one that is okay, but there's a hook somewhere. I said, what can hook? I gave him a breakdown of all the things, components, part of a typical cooling system. They don't have more than 7 parts thereabout, generally. Which one is the hook? I said, no, there's a special way by which they extract the hook. So at that time, there's one thing I do. I don't even like to have conversation with people. I just call the junior Israel, that's Judah. I said, "Beg, this is the guy's number. Call him, two of you should converse. He's an engineer. So at least, tell him you're an engineer so that he will not start with thinking he can deceive a doctor. So at least, he thinks because I'm a doctor, I don't have sense. But engineers probably have much more sense than those of us who are doctors. Okay, so let's... That one will tell him, say, oh boy,
this hook, where is the hook? He said they have a special oil for extracting the hook. Yeah. If you see the price they charge, so we didn't say, how you think charge this thing now? He said they have to smuggle the oil in. I said, don't think all of us are, keep my point, some of us actually have some more sense. How about this man call somebody else who was straightforward? That one walked in there, said, no, two components burnt. Let me go buy them. He fixed them. And this inside there working. Now, why did I tell this whole story? Who's responsible for his poverty? Is this his uncle's wife or his own character? That's I'm telling this whole story. Now, please, just by the way, nobody say I won't brag, but sometimes God has lifted us to some places in life. I'm the type that will give you contacts. I'm the type that will refer you. You treat me well, I can give you 10 customers. I am not the kind of person you should defraud. Because it has repercussion down the line. Do you get the logic?
Yes,
so with all of that, you can see his character, he get problem. So if he's treating me and you say, oh guy, you know you are my guy now, you know. I say, if you treat the way you talk about me, how I've been good to you, something like to that, okay? How I've been good to you. He came and said, oh, yeah, here I know you. I'm the one that opened that door for him that time. If not for him, all the other people that came after me, he has suffered in their hands. There are things he told me. And you do this to me. How have you been treating people that were not good to you? In case you don't know the source of your poverty, at least now I've diagnosed it. It's not your brother's wife. Obviously, that woman is managing her life, not knowing that. I'm sure she already knows that guy is very fraudulent. Maybe that's why his own brother doesn't deal with him. Please, I hope you are learning a lesson from this thing I'm saying this morning.
Yes, sir.
Please, I think the Lord wants us to know this morning, don't raise your children in bitterness. Don't make them angry with anybody. It's not for, you're not protecting them. You are making them bad people. People will start avoiding, that's what I want you to avoid. Make them happy and grateful. God will take care of them, don't worry. If somebody does good to you, tell them about it. If they do you evil, don't make them angry. And then talk to them the way Ben Carson's mother did. Ben Carson's mother explained to him, look, this is America in the, which year was that? Now, this is long ago when he was a small boy. The man is about 70 something now, right? Yeah, so that's when he was a little boy, 12, 13, 14, 10. So imagine. Father said to him, a mother said to him, that racist America of that time, the mother said to him, whoever discriminates against you is the one that has the problem. There is nothing wrong with you. It's not denying the realities of the environment. You just say, no, I'm not going to let, because that's what they call bitterness. It's that thing that anger produces. The mother said, no, I won't let you guys be bitter. And it played out in his life. Look at where he got to. He's respected everywhere. Remember the story he told? He said, look, he walked into the world and they just assumed he was an oddly. All the black activists, my Al Sharpton brothers, you know what they would have done? Protest. This institution is debating again. The next time they won't employ any of you. He walked into a ward. A white woman, she just looked at him and said, oh, you came to pick Mr. Parker for, I just use the word Parker, I'm not sure that it's, he said, you came to pick Mr. Parker for the surgery? Sorry, he's not ready yet, you have to give us like an hour. So he smiled. At that point in time, I think he displayed his badge properly. No, ma. I'm the resident. I'm Dr. Carson. Said, you know, white people can, they are colored. You know, get my point? You are just black. They are colored. So,
Immediately she turned red. She was embarrassed. And he said something which is so beautiful. He said, do you blame her? Every black man that has walked inside there, walked into that ward, has been an oddly. Has been a potter. So what do you expect her to be? To just assume that you are the president? No, now. The last 10 black boys that walked in there, they came to carry patients. And she's a human being. Even AI we're talking about, we know you're likely to be a potter. And he explained that, look, he may have chosen to be like other people. This is not discrimination, it's life. If you are walking at night here, all right, maybe your car stopped running, you don't have a car, your car broke down, you are walking down home, and you see two boys with dreadlocks, with knives in their hand. Won't you run in the other direction? Okay, you prejudice now. You caught, but meanwhile, they are just butchers who are closing lids too. No, thank you. No, but really. Maybe they are skit makers. Why don't you think so? Why did you run? You are prejudiced. Don't be prejudiced now. They go soon. Of course you will run in the other direction. And if they start running after you, you run some more. Why don't you assume that they are just exercising? So he just understood. He said, come on. That's what the Bible calls slow to anger. Slow to wrath. Maybe, I mean, slow to wrath now. Relax. So he just told the woman, no, I understand. It's not a problem. I mean, he said the woman became one of his strongest loyalists. While his allies, that's what I was looking for. One of his strongest allies in the place. It turned out to be a very good, very, you know, very hardworking, intelligent, amiable young man. They got on very, very well. And he didn't have to be, you know, he didn't have to have another enemy to be looking, watching his back. Because even though she's wrong, if you make her an enemy, one day she'll go winch you. Nonsense. The Lord is good. Please, I think that was just for some people. All right? I've not finished. If you are looking for a psychiatrist, go outside, look for your children and not the ones that will be listening to all your nonsense. No, human beings want to be heard. You understand? You want to how you have suffered, you know, how their father has maltreated you. Leave the boys out of it. Leave the girls out of it. Go and plant Antitaio, do you remember that? I don't know, me and you didn't go to primary school at the same time. When we were young, there was one guy, his friend was always wearing a cap. So when they removed the guy's cap, the guy had a horn. You know, like goat. Unicorn. So I said, wear a cap all the time. So his friend showed it to him. That you don't tell anybody. But the Jesus was so strong in him. So he went to the back of the house, dug a pit, and spoke into it. He said, Alade has horn. He spoke into the pit that I have to tell somebody. They now covered the pit. Unfortunately, there were some purple seed around. So he buried the purple seed with the gist. So the purple seed, the purple grew up and bore fruit and leaves. You know, when we're young, purple leaves used to make a flute. Yes. So anybody that calls purple leaf, want to blow it, the purple will say, Aladdin has one. So what I'm saying is that if you must blow the gist, your anger, go and dig a pit. Grumble into the pit, plant your purple, cover it. Don't use your children as your shrink. Entertainment time. If you know what the society has done to me, I came from London, 1985. Since then, I don't have work. This country, Babangida came, spoiled it. Shunekon came, couldn't do anything. Abacha came, buried it. Then you name everybody. Right now, this brother, you know, by that time, you know, you're old, you're tired. This brother, you know, looking for second term. He won't get it. Okay, if he get, what will you do? Your children, when they walk out every day, they're angry with everybody. Angry with APC, angry with Labour Party, angry with PDP, angry with ADC, angry with even NDC. They're just angry with everybody.
These things ought not to be, children of God.
Back to where we began from. We magnify the Lord. What did I say? Even in the midst of our disappointments, we magnify the Lord. Even in the midst of our hurts, we magnify the Lord. That's why I began all of this. To tell us that, please, let's magnify the Lord all the time. Nigeria did not happen to you, brethren. You are the one happening to Nigeria. Yes, who is Nigeria? It's people. You are one of those happening to your neighbors. No matter how difficult the country is, if God chooses to prosper you inside it, you will prosper. Please, I'm not done with it. The reasons, the stories you are telling of why you are not making progress are lies. I'll say that again. The stories you are telling, once the story is external, it's not you, it's them, it's the system, it's other people, they are lies. In the midst of those places, those circumstances, people are making progress. People are being blessed. The challenges you see around, they are not unique. The Bible says they are being faced by your brethren all over the place. Do you know what? This world, here you know, is not easy anywhere. This life is not easy anywhere. That is, there is no place where it is easy. The Englishman told us that thing long ago, that the grass always seems greener on the other side. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. It's as if this world, the Lord left it. That is Satan that decided to now make it like that, but God gave it to him. It just opposes you. Do you know that? Can you believe that? Now, please, this is not to side anybody or say somebody is right or not. Can you believe that Dangote said if he knew that he would face this amount of opposition, he would not have built this refinery? Did you hear that? The man is looking like, what am I looking for? He's like, wait, though. Now, he didn't say this, what I want to say, but you can just imagine it. Life is food. I had enough. I had more than enough. I was already one of Nigeria's richest men. The amount of wealth I had, my grandchildren wouldn't know poverty. Why did I need to build a refinery? He said the opposition he faced. When he was talking, he said, listen, he was just telling Nigeria. All right, telling Nigeria. He said, Nigeria, please. Said, okay, of course, Nigerians. He said, I have friends who have more money than me. He said, look, then why would they do? He said, they are watching how I'm being treated. He said, you can see, go online, you'll find it there. He said, they are watching how I'm being treated. He said, they carry their money to Monaco and sit down there. Yeah, that's what he said. He said they'll take their money to Monaco and just sit down there and be eating it. But you know the country needs their investment. You know, you look like, excuse me, Dangote, you have problems. You have opposition. Life is just hard everywhere. You open a shop thinking, the council will come and demolish it. They don't want poor people to eat. America too does not want poor people to eat. Europe doesn't want people. In fact, when you hear some people in UK talk sometimes, they just made up their mind that UK is designed to keep them poor. Yeah. Because they said, listen, I don't work, I don't do anything. They give me a small flat. and they give me small money to be eating every month. He said, the moment I start earning, he said, even though what I'm earning is less than what they are giving me, they take the flat. He said, what are they saying that should not work? So a lot of them don't work because they are like the free flat. Yeah, no, it's a known system. That once you start earning, the government will suddenly decide that you're no longer poor. So they withdraw the benefits we are getting. Except that the income you are getting cannot pay for the things we're getting free as benefits. So when people just sit down and say, I know they work again. Say, go and look for work. Say, who work help? No, when you get to some side, you're just confused, like, excuse me, what are we doing here? I don't know about now, but last time I checked it, they said 9 out of 10 businesses started in the United States collapsed within 5 years. 9 out of 10. He said if you gather the surviving one, you make 10 of them. Over the next 5 years, another 9 will collapse. Essentially, 99 out of 100 goes out in 10 years. That was America then. Can you believe that right now, ChatGPT is about to go bankrupt? Oh, okay. Olayinka, open your mouth. Their revenue is $2 billion when their expenditure is 15. Meanwhile, that's why Elon Musk is suing Sam Altman. And they're looking like, are you drunk? Where would the money come from? Let me not give you details of what is going on in there. But where I'm going, let me just sit my message. OpenAI is having, is it possible? You know, you using them at all, you think, man, this is the next gold mine. Oh boy, there's no gold there. The guy is looking for money every day. So that's why they say they have to start taking adverts. Because the money has to come. You know what they call QVC? You know what you talk about, QVC, or QVC? Lori Grenier, gone bankrupt. Where's the easy life, please? I mean, that's where we're going. Life is not easy anywhere. It's not easy anywhere. When are people going to drown trying to get to Europe? I have seen people who made it, and they are wondering, made it to what? Slavery. They enter into Italian farms. Is it? Where's Madrid? Spain. Italian and Spanish farms. And they are harvesting grapes, and nobody's paying them. They can't talk. They can't talk. Yet. Yes. They have them. There are girls in West Africa. They call them Italian wives. Because their husband said, let me go and look for green pasture. They've not seen the bug in the last 3 years. He made it. Maybe after a few months, he managed to send them $100. Which he has to starve to save. Meanwhile, please, I'll get to my message. Meanwhile, I know one man of God. He went to do mission in that country where they have Italian wives. Now, these Italian wives are Africans, though, but their husbands have gone to Italy to look for money. So, so when you see a woman with a child that looks like it's a single girl, you look and say, how far? They say she's an Italian wife. You get the point. Because you've not seen any man around her in the last 2 years. And she has a boy that's growing. So the husband, they look for money. Apparently, he hasn't found it. You can't find money. You didn't lose it in the first place. If I'm looking for my ring now, you know I lost it. Then I will find it. But it's, you know, precious. See, what? Your sister is grooming her husband.
Yeah. Ijim, why are you always agreeing with what women do? She said it's good. You want to agree to? Let me say where the guys are because I think it's safer here. The Lord is good. Now, where I'm going is that they've not found the money. Now, I know a missionary that went there to work there. He said he saw their land, beautiful, beautiful land. He believes in farming. He's a big pastor in Nigeria. In his house, he said he doesn't buy vegetables because his command is very big. So he farms vegetables in his house in Nigeria here. So he tried to encourage them, his pastors in those countries, that they should start farms and all of that. You know what the pastor said? At the point in time, they come and say, "Oh, God, see, we are missionaries, so I understand what you are trying to say." The pastor said, "Who will work on the farms?" You don't get it. That the locals will not agree to work. That the Nigerian missionaries there will start the farm, but they need farm hands. But that they will not agree to work. Now, he didn't want his pastors to farm, actually. He wanted them to set an example for the locals to start farming. So they would say to him, farming is hard, oh. They have this funny Creole kind of accent. They unanimously grumble that farming is difficult. It's their culture there. So they will sit down, they are poor, they will be calling him in Nigeria, whether he can send them money. And he's looking at the land in front of them. Guys, let's cultivate this land. And they tell you, farming is hard, though. Then they look for a way to get to Europe and get to that farming. So at the end of the day, they are poor still, and they are still farming. Would it not have been better to be home and be doing the farming? At least you see your wife every day. And they have a saying, an African proverb that says, if your poverty does not include food, poverty is finished. He's laughing because he knows the proverb. Yeah. It's from Western Nigeria. They say, if food has been removed from this poverty matter, he said, poverty is over now. Ebenezer Obey sang a song with it. Some of you can listen to it. I mean, Nigerians were jamming the song when I was a little boy. It was the time President Obasanjo, then General Obasanjo, was ahead of state. He started Operation Feed the Nation. So that was where, was it a proverb or the man even invented it? Ebenezer Obey. Poverty, poverty. He said, once food is not part of the poverty. He said, poverty, don't finish now. But you know it's true. He said, there's no, I'm poor. But I chop. And they chop the balance. You know, the skin itself would look like I don't need clothes. After all. Where I'm going to ask, these same people who refuse to farm at home, then travel all the way to Europe, Italy, Spain, and the only job they will find is on the farms. Grapes and all of that. Picking grapes. And they can't talk. If the normal wage should be maybe, just for purpose of discussion, where they're supposed to earn 100 euro, they get 30. So you see six men sleeping in one room. Because they thought life was easier somewhere. Let me tell you, life is not easy anywhere. You know, one of my friends, he does something here. He's a very nice guy, very good friend of mine. It's my class. Someone we're chatting, we go in a chat group. He read something in the news. You see, why are you guys surviving in Nigeria? I say, oh, be reading news there. You know, because when they read the news, fuel is now 1,000 something. So he calculates it, checks the minimum wage. He said, how you guys survive? We'll start laughing. So I said, he comes to the filling station. Q still did that. He's like, not Q of scarcity, but number of people that want to buy fuel. He said, you guys managing now, all of us in Nigeria. Those in Nigeria are always laughing.
So what recently was made, said this APC government said it doesn't like it. That before, when PDP was in power, his friends used to travel all over the place to come and visit him. I said, my guy, the problem is not APC government, it's Donald Trump. I said, see here, if you give these guys I'm seeing here visa, they will travel. I told him, I said, don't worry, people just have a way of getting by. That God will just keep taking care of us. That's the point I'm making. And I don't think, because these are problems, there maybe things are so hard back home. I said, life just goes on. One day, one of our brothers, he traveled for a long time. You know, went to the U.S. for a very long time. Then one day, he now came home. And he traveled around to see people. All those words, they used to hustle together. Now, he has some money and all of that. So he goes to go and see one man, and one of his guys. Ah! He enters the man's house. He sees the size of the house. Ah. Eh. So, if I want to travel to see one of my guys who's a pastor, he saw the church complex, the buildings and everything. And you know, you look at him like a small boy. No, he's established. You go here, you go there, you see, ah. So he kept on saying, ah, you people are doing well, oh. You people are doing well, oh. That's what annoys my wife. Say, did you expect us to freeze in time when you traveled? So you expect it to freeze in time. So you come back, we'll still be begging and say, bro, did you bring anything for us? No. I was entering people's homes, they were driving him in nice cars, they were busy doing things. Yes, if they convert their naira to your dollar, it will look small. But there's what is called purchasing power parity. What can he do with his naira? That's what matters. This money may look small. He has a full-time cook. He has a driver. He has a gardener. They live in his BQ. He has collected title in the village. Also. Do you understand my point? At the end of the day, I said, look, at the end of the day, there's what also Jim Bass used to call the cult of the passing moment. Each moment, God just shows up. You just look one day, this country, what's going on? Then one day you look, all your children have graduated. They are working, doing their businesses, running their ministry. And some people come. I know a man, all the days I knew, he was waiting to get a visa to go abroad. Yet, some of us were living in NYC, getting to residency, finishing residency. He's still waiting for visa to go abroad. So his life froze at the gates of the embassy. And you know, such a person, nobody will give him a visa. Nobody's giving him a visa. Eventually, he will find his way through Lampedusa, having crossed the Mediterranean. Then you know where he will end up? An Italian farm. One day, one of my guys, I heard that. I said, this guy, the way he was stealing money from the people, I said, he wants to go abroad. I told my wife, he wants to go abroad. I said, poor guy. Finally, now your guy. You know why he's laughing? Because my young guy. Finally, I heard that they deported him from Libya. I said, I said, yeah, Libya. Why do you forget? Do you know what's going on in this country? She doesn't know. Libya is the... They jump into the water from Libya and swim across. You know, in that north of Africa, Europe is just across the channel. It's not far. So usually, you go reach Kano. From Kano, you go enter Nile bus. No, that's what they do now. They park you like sardines, some of those, they are trucks. And when the trucks break down in the middle of Sahara Desert, you die of thirst. Yeah, no, you can die. It's very dangerous. It's anybody passing that route is really hopeless. At least, like, in his mind, there's no other hope. You understand? Then when you now get there, the Libyans now sell you like slaves. Yeah, if you don't have money for them, they sell you. They literally sell you. Yeah. And like, we bring this guy, come, where your money, we balance money, he said, you don't get. They carry it to the slave market. They literally auction you. So somebody pays and takes you to his place to go and work. You may work for like 2-3 years. And many people die in that process. They just buried their body in the desert. And you wonder, what are people running away from? See, let me tell you, day by day, God will just show up for you. Yeah, he will just show up for you. Just, please, go and read my article. There's a sermon I wrote long ago called Keep on Trucking. Keep on Trucking. You know, let me tell the story in that article again. Some years ago, my wife and I were coming back home, just the two of us. It's December period. You know December period, before we had the second Niger Bridge, that our only bridge at Onitsha from Asaba. The holdup could be long into Asaba. So that day, that my very big vehicle, all right, was quite very new that time. It was still quite good. So I wasn't bothered with it. I knew the holdup was there. So I had prepared. My wife and I, my wife would sleep, wake up, sleep. Me, I was driving. We just relaxed. So when we got to Asaba, into the holdup, please, you can read the story. I told inside that one, keep on trucking. When we got to Asaba, in the holdup, there was something I had learned. That just select a lane and stay there. I drove the place over the years now. After living here for so many, you just learn some things about your route. So I know when you get there, when there's a holdup, just choose a lane. Usually the innermost lane, I found out, just stay there. It will appear slow, but you will get to where you are going. Unless there's a breakdown in front of you, don't bother moving. Just follow it. It will appear slow. I learned it. So, why I talked about my car was that the car was running very smoothly. The AC was working. Music was playing. So, I was just... And a very nice car. Could glide very easily. I was ready to wait. That day took us 2 hours to clear, to get to the bridge. As I entered... Now, driving all the way from Benin to get to that place, 1 hour, 15 minutes. 1 hour, 30 minutes. Then from that Asaba place to the bridge, just a few kilometers, took 2 hours. I remember that day I checked the time. What I'm telling the story is the guy who was beside me was driving a Honda Pilot. He didn't check. I checked. We got into that holdup at the same time. By the time we finished 2 hours later, I was in front of him. So what are you talking about? Except that he never rested. Once the lane on this side moves, pew, he has, you know, like we say, don't shook his head. Block somebody, they don't cause some, he has entered. They will be there for some time, then you will notice that the lane on the other side, where it's coming from, is moving. Then he will move and come back there. He did that constantly for 2 hours. He was nervous. You know how I know? At a point in time, he lit a cigarette, started smoking frantically. So he was always moving. I told my wife, watch this guy. We watched this guy for over an hour and a half. You know what he did not notice? He was constantly beside us, but it didn't strike him. You know why? Because he was always moving. Wah, 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 here, there, do. What he did not know was that he was constantly beside us. Of course, you know it's traffic. So he will go like 3 cars ahead. Then he'll wait. Then we'll pass him, leaving 3 cars behind. Then he will move. Then what he did not know was that we were constantly near each other. Except that me, I wasn't. I was just on one lane. Mm-hmm. When it's time for us to move, the whole line will move. What he didn't know that all that motion did not mean progress. But because he was so busy with himself, he didn't realize it. I got to that bridge before him. It was just right behind me. Because that time, normally if you know, the road traffic people, the road safety people, they enforce the single lane thing there. You see them put marks, everything, and then with the other security forces, they really maintain, they don't want traffic to build up on the bridge. As soon as we cleared where the road safety people at, forced into single line, the guy immediately, bam, started overtaking. In that process, he broke somebody's mirror. So at that speed, we saw him on the bridge, parked, fighting. I passed by him again. I cleared that bridge for that guy. I didn't have to pay for anybody's mirror. Because it was a commercial bus. That one chased him down. Stopped him. They were there quarreling when I passed. I'm sure he had to part with money. As we're entering Onitsha, he blew past me again. But that time the road was bad one time, so we had to turn into Onitsha to go and pass 3-3. So I didn't see him again. But I'm sure wherever we are going in this life, I'm going to get there before that guy. What was his problem? He wouldn't rest. Some people are jumping up and down. They think they are making, you're not making any progress. Today, you are in Enugu. Next one, you are going to Port Harcourt. From Port Harcourt, you are not in Nowhere. From Nowhere, now in Lagos. Now you are applying for a visa. They finally got you the visa. You arrived in Europe. They said, stay there for 4 weeks and come back home. At the end of the 4 weeks, you decide that you are from Sambisa Forest. They want to kill you. Yeah, people, they now file for asylum. There are Nigerians that Boko Haram killed their parents as far as Europe is concerned. Right, the father and the mother, they are there in Delta State or Edo State, enjoying themselves. The guy is in Europe, saying that Boko Haram killed his parents. That is actually from Kano State or from Borno State. See, with that kind of lie, I don't know how you want to get to heaven. Because when you want to get there, you say, you. The person who reserved this space for, his parents are dead. They died by Boko Haram. Your own father died of heart failure at the age of 89. Your own mother died peacefully at 92. The person we arrived this place for, Boko Haram beheaded both father and mother. You go explain. Tired. Actually, it's my digital mother that died. At the end of the day, brethren, you're not making any progress. Don't let the few gadgets you have and the clothes you buy when you come home Christmas deceive you. You're not making any progress. You have the Issachar spirit. You have bent your back to bear burdens and you are now a slave at forced labor. You don't know. I beg, so what are we saying all of these things? Let's give glory to God. Let's know that He is God and there is none else. The society is not God. Not from the east, nor from the west comes exaltation, nor from the south. But God is judge. That's why I didn't say from the north. If you notice, it said east, west, and south. He deliberately omitted the north. Why? He said the Mount Zion on the northern side is the city of the great king. So from the great king comes exaltation. He brings down one and lifts up another. Someone's listening to me. God said, settle down. If you rush to where you are going, you will get there. You'll still be on the same spot. 20 years later, you will look back. Just like the person Banky is talking about. You may be hustling, running up and down. At the end of 20 years, there's one spot. There are many people that Donald Trump is deporting. It's God telling them that, see, I want to prove to you, you are still on one spot. There's one guy the other day, I read the story online. They are trying to make the Donald Trump's reforms. Well, BBC Shah was reporting. And this guy, he went to the U.S. as a student. 20 years later, he didn't have any legal right to stay. Yeah. First, 20 years later, from Kenya. First, he married one woman. They used that one to try and file for papers. The judge decided that it was a scam marriage. The immigration judge. So they denied him. Of course, and the judge was right. The way he explained it. They explained it, the BBC reporter. So the guy got his divorce. Then finally, he married another woman, this time around, properly. A single mother. So they had another child, and run their family. They keep filing. There will be objection. So the government will say something. You go and file for something. But he got a good job. He was working for the state, the council, where he was living. But this is the point I'm making. When Donald Trump started, he now realized it was hard for him to go out. Do you get it?
He just realized he was always staying at home because he realized that he couldn't even go to work. Now, the people in his workplace, they knew about it. So there's a way they worked an arrangement for him. Finally, he stopped going to work. Then now he was now homebound. So he sat down, he and his wife and his daughter. They reasoned that it's better to live with dignity. But if those guys come to get you, you are living in handcuffs and shackles. So he reasoned about it. So he packed his thing, stuff. And went, now this one I'm making, went back to Kenya after 20 years. With a prayer that he will see the wife and that daughter again. I look at this one, I say, God just tells some of these people that you're on one spot. I just want to prove to you, you have been, remember that my guy who was driving the underpilot beside me? With all the motion, God said, you have not moved farther than other people. What pained me about that guy was that he was not aware. I'm sure he's calling people in Lagos, say, oh boy, if nobody say I'll be sharp driver, I was still there. It's not true. Do you know that? Then you call the guy, say, ah, how far, where are you there now? He said, ah, now we're in Oka. Ah, Oka, after so long, it's taking so long. He said, Oka, it's because I didn't sharp, oh boy, he still did that place. It's not true. We too were in Oka. His sharp driving did not give him any advantage. In fact, he broke somebody's mirror. Many people are horsing up and down. God is just proving to them that you are still on one spot. Just that you're so busy with the memory of all your hustle, you think you have made progress. You haven't. That brother came that day. After his tour, his conclusion is, you guys are doing well. My wife just gets upset. Like, what do you mean? You thought we because you went abroad, they press pause for the rest of us? No, that pause is in your mind. Yeah. So please, let me, look, I plan my message for today, but this one has, let's just say it again. God is the source of all things. See, let me explain something. God's way of measuring life is not the way human beings measure life. Take a woman like Anna in the Bible. God gave her a job that did not make material progress. But God said, you can't depart from that temple. The salvation of mankind depends on the work I've given you and some of these people around. Yeah, that's what God said. You know, I told you last time that one young man who said, of course, it was foolishly, I'm not angry with him. No. We have all been foolish at a time. If you have ever been foolish in your life, can I put up your hand? Before you do, just know that I'm asking you to put up your hand so I can cast out demons out of those who tell lies. So, if you have ever been foolish in your life, put up your hand. If you want deliverance, okay. Everybody here admits that they have been foolish. But someone say, oh, God, right now I'm sitting in the foolish. So he was just being foolish. So it's not, I'm not angry with him. The man actually looked, I won't give the exact words he used. I said that after 20 years in ministry, what do I have to show? Me, Banky. That's this Banky you are listening to. I know what he meant. Buildings. You know, I drive myself. Unless I'm traveling. Alright, when I'm around time, people say, I don't need a driver. I said, the driver will be idle most times. That's why I don't have a driver. So, driving myself is not a big deal for me. Are you getting my point? It's not a big deal. He expects that maybe when I'm moving, there will be like one car in front, one car behind. And I've been carried like that before, which, in fact, the one I'm thinking of, it was not even one car in front. It was a truck of policemen. And they were not doing two things. They were escorting me. There's one that we're going to try. I told you the story. That one, in Lagos, they were going to block the road so that the vehicle we're in could turn because the vehicle was so long. Of course, everybody will stop because they are policemen. I've been kind of like that before. But at the end of the day, I got to where I was going. Not more than I get to where I'm going when I'm driving by myself.
Expected that maybe kingdom will have one big, massive building where, well, yeah, we don't have it. We don't. Like I said, the young woman made me think. Don't remember the thing again. Then God now helped me see. Say, Banky, think of Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin started the Bible school after he had been in ministry for 38 years. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
38. I went and checked the calculation. I used to say around 40. I knew it was more than 30-something. 38 years after I started ministry, started Bible school in the 70s. Before that, no, I didn't have anything. Till the prince finished his life, we don't know what they had. Physically, no. You get my point. But like I said, such as I have, give I thee. Silver and gold, Peter and John did not have. But they had something to give. Derek Prince had things to give. Covering half of the globe every day with the gospel through the radio waves. He had that to give. Years after he died, that he's gone to be with the Lord, now you still go there. There are hundreds and hundreds, thousands of his messages flying here and there. Still have that to give. He had that to give. What did Kenneth Hagin have is the product. Many of you here, you've been to the Rhema Bible School. Many pastors, they are still there every day training people. What does he have personally? Many people don't know. You know, Kenneth Hagin drove one car, a Ford Bronco. When I was talking about it, he's had a car for 12 years. Did you hear what I said? 12 years, an American. He loved the car, a Ford Bronco. 12 years he drove the car. Please don't let social media people confuse you. One guy said that he decided to stop following social media people. He said he realized that all of them, they can lie. That's how Hush Puppy was deceiving people. You remember Invictus? 30 under 30. What is to annoy me? People like to be giving lectures on real estate investment. You bought land, you've lost money. See, you know. Because you don't know those, you didn't know those were helping you, who were motivating you. That's not what they were making money from. They were stealing their own. You are trying to work for your own. Then they arrested Hush guy. How much cash did they find with this? This was $50 million in cash, 40-something. Who remembers? $40 million. Yes. $40 million was found on him at a time. Laundered money. But is there telling you about real estate investment in Dubai? If you go to Milan, you know, you can buy a castle and flip it. And you are believing. So the other guy said that when his peace came to his life was when he stopped following shiny people on Twitter. He started following shoemakers, people who make clothes, cook. You understand my point? People who are doing things, who do home lessons, who have lesson center. He started following them on social media. Then he realized that actually he was making progress. That's when he realized that, wait, my life is actually moving. He will see somebody who makes shoes and advertise it. Come and buy my shoe. I'll give you a discount. You buy three. He said, boy, is there my level? He unfollowed all those fine people on social media. Like, who are you trying to deceive? There's one girl on social media. I only hear if they are saying when they make it to the main news. Now, what does she do? You know the girl. Very funny girl. She will go to the front of the house of somebody she does not know. Photographed herself. Take it, say, I just decided to buy myself a new house for my 35th birthday. Some men don't have work, sha. The man who she used his house, the man went and collected police. Police arrested her, made her kneel in front of the house to beg for mercy. I said, this man, you get tired. If I'm the one, I'll laugh. So in fact, there's one boy, that one, he was a kidnapper, I think in Calabar. You see him on social media, wear very nice, well-tailored clothes, good quality. Then when he's driving, he said, look, guys, pay attention to your hustle. You see him counting like $2,000, euro, We show him money like this. Go to the one of the best hotels in Abuja, in the lobby, video himself, and now be motivating young men. You know, you have to pay attention to your hustle. You know, you have to perspire so you can acquire that desire that you admire. And it's very, very important you don't retire, because this is a refiring thing, you know. The day police catch him, eh? He was on his knees inside his boxers, begging, please, sir. He was a kidnapper. He had a gang in Calabar. We were on social media. He was telling us, pay attention to your hustle. We didn't know his own hustle. They kidnapped, but that's what happened. They kidnapped one bank manager in this thing, tortured the man, made the man pay a lot of money. So his people, they really rallied. Police worked on his matter until they got him. And one of the men he had kidnapped the previous time came on camera. He said, sir, that is him. He said, okay. You don't know me. I know you. He pointed to the police, that's him. I will testify against him any time. He said, hey, please, my wife just born picking. Is a boy not better off without you? An orphan is better than having that kind of human being as a father. Meanwhile, he was there on social media, motivating people. Young people, nobody should, see, let me tell you, those should motivate you. Those who are there washing their cars, that they're washing cars for people, look. Washing. Who are there making clothes? Who are there making shoes? Who are there teaching? Who are there working? You see them in the banking hall where they are working, going up and down. Apprentice, doing stuff. Like I always have my guy here. When I say, where are you answering? Are you inside a roof somewhere? I shall not mention his name. There's one guy here. Anytime I call him, I say, I'm sure he's inside one roof. And sometimes when I see him, his body's staying with POP. You know what they call POP? Ceiling, where it's coming out from. Those are people you should follow on social media. Once they are wearing fine clothes, leave them. Even if they are pastors, this pastor is not serious, leave him. Look for pastors that are preaching. Are you getting my point? And once they look like they know everything, don't listen to them. That's why the small boys telling you that, you know, that the other day they were looking at 1 billion, just change the channel. You can't. Don't motivate me with 1 billion. I'm only 25. Leave that. Let them motivate you how they slept without light. Say, praise God, this morning there was no power throughout the night, but you know I managed to sleep. Follow that guy. Just follow the channel. Follow the channel. Those ones will help you in life. Those who are deceiving you, as if life is easy anywhere. See, just be faithful. In due season, God will bring the good he has planned for you. That's the point I'm making. Let's get back to our message. Back to the beginning. Yeah, you will stand now. You want to see to declare the glory of the Lord. Everybody on your feet. Everybody, we'll now start preaching today, amen? Habakkuk chapter what?
3.
From verse 2 to verse what? 15, all right. New Living Translation today, please. This is the glory of the Lord. Are you there?
Yes,
sir. Mm-hmm. So, all of this started because I was talking about the fact we magnify God, amen? So we magnify God. What did I say?
Magnify God.
I didn't hear you well.
Magnify God.
I said, we magnify God, amen?
Amen?
No, say that. We magnify God. Say it again.
We magnify God.
Yes, in every aspect of our lives. All right, from verse 2, 1 to let's... New Living Translation, please, everybody. From verse 2, 1 to let's go. I've heard all about you, Lord. I'm filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. I see God moving across the deserts from Edom, the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. His coming is as brilliant as the sunrise. Rays of light flash from his hands, where his awesome power is hidden. Pestilence marches before him. Plague follows behind him. Stops, the earth quakes. When he looks, the nations tremble. He shatters the everlasting mountains and levels the eternal hills. He is the eternal one. I see the people of Cushan in distress.
and the nation of Midian trembling in terror? Was it in anger, Lord, that you struck the rivers and parted the sea? Were you displeased with them? No, you were sending your chariots of salvation. You brandished your bow and your quiver of arrows. You split open the earth with flowing rivers. The mountains washed and trembled. Onward swept the raging waters. The mighty deep cried out, lifting his hands in submission. The sun and moon stood still in the sky as your brilliant arrows flew and your glittering spear flashed. You marched across the land in anger and trampled the nations in your fury. You went out to rescue your chosen people, to save your anointed ones. You crushed the heads of the wicked and stripped their bones from head to toe. With his own weapons, you destroyed the chief of those who rushed out like a whirlwind, thinking Israel would be easy prey. You trampled the sea with your horses, and the mighty waters piled high. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What was he doing here, Habakkuk? Describing the works of the Lord. Everybody say, our God is great.
Our God is great.
Say it again.
Our God is great.
One more time.
Our God is great.
Hallelujah. Please take your seats. The Lord is good. Now, how do we do now? Because now we start with this message. All the while, we're just greeting each other. You know, normally we do this at the beginning. I was trying to explain something. And I mistakenly said people should sit down. By saying they should sit down, I ended up preaching a message. The one for the day, never preach them. Uh-huh. The Lord is good. All right, let me just quickly, for a few minutes, I won't take too long. How do I do this now? Okay, let's just talk a bit, and then I won't take long at all. All right, just give me 15 minutes, right? 30 is plenty. 30 is plenty. Let's do 15, right? Okay. So let's just do 20. The Lord is good. Just the thing we have been teaching, I've been trying to bring that series to a close. Maybe I'll just abandon the way it is. Yeah, because every time I try to finish it, it doesn't finish. It's been a few weeks now. So maybe we'll just abandon it. Whether it finishes or not, we'll just go on to something else. Amen? Yes. So let me just see what I can do with it today. Okay. Okay, so you know, we've been talking about the fullness of faith. And please, let me just rush to some things I have not spoken about. A small reminder for us. The destiny that God plans for everybody has a character requirement for the manifestation of it. Whatever it is that God wants to achieve, there is a character requirement. Now, the way you are, I've been explaining for some time, comes for many reasons. Generally, it's a sin nature which we are redeemed from in Christ Jesus, and that there are experiences of life which we need to consciously remove from ourselves, because like we said earlier, a lot of people are walking in bitterness even though they are Christians. And one of the things you must never do is to try and justify yourself the way you are. The fact that you have an explanation for your deficiency, character-wise, does not make it right. Does not mean God will overlook it. Once you've found the explanation, the point is that you know you have a problem. And God holds you responsible, not because of what you became, but for your refusal to accept his remedy. I hope you're getting my point. God is not angry with people because they are sinners. Because to be a sinner, you just need to be born. That's something I need to even remind people when I'm talking about that. I keep forgetting that part of it. We talk about sin nature as if it's an evil, corrupt nature. As if something terribly bad happened to you. That's where the mistake is. And that was what Charles Finney refused to accept. And I think I now know where the problem was. Our definition of sin is what the problem is. We look at sin as if it's hatred for God, it's anger against God. I thought about this, I think, yesterday night or early this morning. The main problem with sin is pride. Let me explain what I mean by pride. Now, sin is not what people think, as if it's anger against God and all of that. No, that's not what it is. Sin is just the deficiency in the knowledge of God. Do you follow? That's just what sin is. It's the gap between you and who God wants you to be. Sin is a gap between you and who God is if he were in your flesh, or who God will be. Sin is anybody born and is not like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, and even Jesus, the Son of God, had to be trained by God himself to remain pure in his life. Otherwise, once you come into this world, you are defaultly short of God's glory. It's not a morally evil thing. It's called unrighteousness simply because God is a standard of righteousness. Do you get my point? So let's bear that in mind. So when I say pride, is refusal to yield yourself and to hold on to what you are, no matter what the explanation you have. You know, there's something I used to tell my wife those days. Maybe I said, don't do this. I said, you know, I'm a woman. I said, hey, wait. Stop giving woman as excuse. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, there are things that are women like, but they are good. But if I pick something as being not good, let's look at whether it's good or it's not good. Don't say, you know, I'm a woman. Are you like that because you're a woman? Yes. But is it a shortcoming? Yes. And if it is, we have to know that these are the shortcomings of women. Now I have identified it. I will not stay with it because I have a good excuse. I will work on it until I become who God wants me to be. That's what I call pride. Pride is when I stick with it and say, I have a good excuse and that's where I am and that's where I am. Are you getting my point? Now that's what God judges people for. That pride of heart. Pride of heart, no, I wish we would understand some of these things. Pride of heart doesn't mean that I'm a buga. You know what they call it, a buga? Yeah. Doesn't mean that, like one man said, it doesn't mean I'm prouding, raising my shoulder. No. A lot of proud people, they look very humble. But they will never shift their position. Why won't they shift their position? I have a right to it. And God calls it the pride in the heart of man. That's what God calls it, pride in the heart of man. This is my position and I have a right to it. Now, what does he expect? You remember we said then, eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and tree of life. The difference is simply, I yield myself up that, okay, this is how I am, but I yield myself up to what God wants me to be. And that's what God wants from man. So no matter what we are like, okay, there may be a reason for why, you may have a good explanation. Now, which, you know, in psychology, what they try to do, what they do, psychoanalysis, they want to dig back to where it started from, thinking that if you get there, you'll be able to resolve it. But sometimes it doesn't work. What you need is not where did you start from, it's where you are going. And where you are going is Christ Jesus. So no matter what be your explanation for where you are, character-wise, where you are going is Christ Jesus. At the end of the day, Isaac, Abraham, Jacob, each one of them, they may have been different in their personalities, but each person had to learn the faith of God. Yeah, each person had to learn the faith of God. Each person had to learn it. Now, because if you did not learn it, the destiny that God planned for you will not manifest. Do you follow my point? So, where I'm going is that, see, I wish we would get this point. As a Christian, everything is a gift. It's whether you are worthy to receive the gift or not, is what we are discussing. There's nothing that's a result of labor. Your labor as a Christian, all right, is to correct yourself into what God wants you to be. Are you catching my point? Yeah. And what God does is to give you opportunities every day. He gives us opportunities. So if you go to work, the idea of going to work
is not just to earn a living. It's to interact with people until God exposes you to you. And then you now take that part of you that's not right and bring it to the Lord for correction. And the way you correct it is a very simple thing. It's Jesus, the Lord said, only what? Acknowledge. So, but then you can't until you are persuaded. You know, the other day I had an experience. Huh. I'm sure my wife looked at it. This is my husband. After all these years. And this is something I could never have thought about, except, you know, I had an experience in life that brought out a part of me that I did not know was not, how do I say this? I didn't know this area needed to be fixed. Spiritual, Jesus said, there are things I want to tell you. You can't bear them. There are things the Lord wants to do in your life. You can't. You have to pass through certain experiences. So if he has to send you to the house of Laban, he will. And some of these cry, you are crying. But God is really not worried about it. All your cry is to take 25 years. Because the Lord said, do you know what I'm doing? It's going to take eternity to manifest. That it will show in your life for eternity. I pray, God said, thank you. Relax. The Lord, he said, it's not me. Tell her to fix the thing I want him to fix. Do you get my point? See, the destiny of God will not manifest fully until he gets something out of your life. That is like, he has to pull that thing onto the surface. He has to change you until you become the person that he wants you to be. That's the point I'm making. We struggle in the wrong places. We do. We struggle to earn more money. We struggle to make progress. And the Lord says, these things are gifts. So, yeah, they are gifts. I give to whoever I wish. I can give you. And they are not a big thing that like, okay, I made somebody a multi-millionaire, a billionaire. I wish you could see, God says, in the heavens. It doesn't make him more important than somebody else I didn't do that for. Are you getting my point? One of the things you must be careful about in this life is to set, no, how do I say it? Be careful not to set the wrong goal in front of you. Yeah, I think I said it well. Be very careful not to set a wrong goal in front of you. What do I mean by that? Let's take an example. Remember the thing we were talking about, Reverend? After 20 years of ministry. That thing. Which means that in ministry, listen to this carefully. I always drop a word for pastors. Let's get there again. Which means in ministry, there are things that people like to achieve. For example, now, in that ministry, when they gather their 10,000 people for their programs, you know, it's a big thing. And somebody looks very nice. The biggest church in Nigeria can sit 100,000 persons in one building. All right? How far? Are we still building the ark? We're almost done. All right. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Okay, see, I'm having divided opinion here. Some say, I don't know. I think I like that, I don't know. All right, some say yes. Some say, which means the nice way of saying it's a bad thing. You can't say it's a bad thing. Leave that thing. So I will accept only one or two answers. Yes or I don't know. Is that okay? Is it a goal for young ministers? No, that one we all agree. A young minister never set that as a goal in your life. That's the only way. It's not a bad thing. God forbid that you say it's a bad thing. Okay, let's take one that we can unanimously agree is good. Pastor Adeboye, the ministry has a private plane. True of us? True. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. I'm happy. We all agree that that is good, all right? Is it a goal that Pastor Kimuti, she sat in front of him. Is that a goal? Now, this will sound funny. This one will sound very, very funny. Catherine Kuhlman, I read this, my testimonies a lot. Her meetings, and Pastor W.F. Kumi gave the same testimony. When Deeper Life started those days, he didn't try to pay for the sequel. He was a Bible teacher. is that after the Bible, one of the Bible class, somebody came and testified, while you were teaching, I got healed. Same thing, Catherine Kuhlman was teaching. Now, those who have not, please go and study Catherine Kuhlman. Any picture of, say, of Catherine Kuhlman's crowd, usually of, is of those who could not enter. Now, every event she, every center she went to do a program, she packed it full. How did the whole thing start? One day she was teaching. She was just a preacher of some sort. The next time she came to, she was, you know, organized a series of meetings. Next meeting, she went to start talking. One woman put up her hand and said, please, can I say something? Go ahead. While you were preaching last time, you were talking about the Holy Spirit. At that point in time, I realized, she described her problem, that it had gone away. Serious sickness had been healed. Catherine Kuhlman was surprised to hear it. But she now noticed the pattern continuing. And she ran ministry for some decades like that in the United States. Now, please, is it a good thing or a bad thing? This one, if you say it's a bad thing, you get a problem. I just want to hear from your mouth. Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. If Jesus sends you out, is it not good for demons to run away when you mention his name? Is it not good that the sick will be healed? Is it not good that supernatural provisions will happen? Yet they came back rejoicing that this has happened. And Jesus said to them, don't rejoice over it. That's where I'm going. What like these are good things. And he said to them, the same people he sent out, he said, what should you rejoice over? He said that your names are recorded in heaven. Did you catch that? I'm talking about preachers now as an example. So, preachers, listen to me clearly. I don't have time now. Go and settle down and write down things that you should rejoice over. I'll give you a few. One is that you did not change your doctrine no matter the pressure. Rejoice over that. It's very important. Look at what Paul said at the end of his life. What did he say? I have finished I fought a good fight. I've run my course and have kept. That's what I was going to. For him, what was most important? I kept the faith. No, there are many that did not keep the faith. Asa did not keep the faith. Are you aware of that? He did not. Solomon did not. Solomon so made a mess of the faith that God punished Israel for it. 30-something years, God kept Asa. His faith worked. Then God saw the heart of Asa, that the faith had slipped. So he said, let me ignite him to prayer again. He sent war against him. Instead of that, the man went to be making alliances with the Syrian guy, the king of Aram. And then, you know what the Bible says? When the prophet came and challenged him, do you know this guy imprisoned the prophet? Let me tell you something about prophets. If you don't want to listen to them, ignore them. If there's a prophet around you, you don't like him, just ignore him. Don't behead him. See, if you do what Saul did, if he did what the name of this, Isaiah's son? Not Isaiah. Ezekiah. Manasseh. If you did what those people did there, your children will suffer. Saul's children suffered because he killed priests. It's part of the... No, I'm telling you, just listen to this. How do I know? Jesus said, you see this Jerusalem? I'm going to wipe it out. Why? He said, for the blood of the prophets killed from Abel to Zechariah. He said, I will bring it upon this generation. He said, how do I do it? I will give them more prophets to kill. So in your life, avoid prophets. When I say avoid them, if you don't want to listen to them, leave them alone. Instead of, what's the name of our guy? Asa. You know what he did? He had the prophet imprisoned.
Your life is over when you start a prisoning prophet. And the same time the Bible says he oppressed the people. Asa did not keep the faith. Oh, many ministers are not keeping the faith. Let me tell you, refusal to keep the faith has pecuniary advantage. Yeah, it does. It brings a lot of money. It does. No, if you refuse to keep the faith, you'll be amazed. You know the funny thing? If church growth numbers is your primary focus in life, you have missed your destiny already as a pastor. I'm not saying you shouldn't want church to grow. You should. But if that thing grips your heart strongly, you will certainly miss your destiny. You will. What should an average minister focus on? What is the cause of God for my life? It normally not, it doesn't have to be, hey, please, I keep saying, I love this man I mentioned. I love Pastor Ye Adeboye. I love him a lot. Respect him. I love Bishop Oyedepo. I love him. I respect him. But there's one thing I see. A lot of young people see the pattern of their lives and think that's how every ministry must go. So everybody wants to have 50 branches. See, there are different patterns to ministry. There are different patterns to ministry. There are so many. There are different patterns to ministry. And there's something about God when he's the one blessing you, eh? One of the things he does is that you focus on what he said. All right? Then he will open doors for you and closing doors you're not supposed to pass through. I don't know whether I get my point. No, me, I've experienced it. He will just open doors for you. He's only like, okay. Let's say you're a preacher, as an example. You're a teacher of the work. You just be teaching the word. Just be teaching the word. And then, most importantly, like Paul wrote to Timothy, pay attention to your doctrine. So pay attention to your doctrine. Make sure every day you are learning, you are reading, you are correcting yourself. And very importantly, for every child of God, you are correcting your character. Yeah. Every child of God, make sure you are correcting your character. Because they do that. Then one day, when I feel like you're ready for something, I will open the door. You just walk through it. I'll give you the support necessary. You won't have to, you know, strive by your own strength. And that's what God does. But unfortunately, when we don't set those right things in front of us, you know what happens? We start pursuing success. Oh, I'm stuck with the pastor's matter. We start pursuing success in ministry. There's a way you go for church growth seminar and how to arrange ministry. You are trying to build a human organization. Yeah. With human methods. And you go for programs, you pay for seminars, and they are telling you this how to retain your members. How to make them give. How to have effective outreach. You see how to. People will sit down there. At the end of the day, they have become masters at human organization. There's no spirit organizing the thing for them. I know one of the signs you know you're in that situation. Should I tell you? Pastors, those of you who are not, don't worry, just listen. Men of God, you know one of the ways you know you're in that situation? You know they sleep again. You're always plotting. Because see, those kind of plotting, you have to be awake to do them. Let's just give the Lord thanks for today's message. Let's just thank the Lord. Like I say all the time, anytime we are preaching, the Holy Spirit is saying something to each individual. So when we say pray that is at the end, just there are certain words you should use in response to what God has said to you today. Funny enough, I can't remember most of the things I said now because I didn't plan them. But God requires you to respond to him with certain words. So just do that now in prayer. Usually commitments, confessions, those are the things. Confessions, commitments, requests for further understanding in certain areas.